Welcome to The Lorraine Murphy Show. I'm a mentor, four times author, leader of my Bold Darling Mastermind for female entrepreneurs, retreat host, and I've gotten to host this podcast for 5 years. As with all of my work, this show is to serve female entrepreneurs who want to optimize their energy and their mindsets in order to build the businesses and lives of their dreams. I've walked this entrepreneurial path for 11 years now, and I can tell you that there is a way to have a business you love and still have the space and time for all the other parts of your life that make you, you. Whether your number one priority right now is to scale your business, upgrade your finances, rediscover yourself, find more energy, get more organized, reconnect with yourself, or build a life and or business that's more aligned for you, or all of the above, I am here as your guide on the show to help you make it a reality. Listen in on my dulcet Irish tones as I share tales from the front line of my business and mentoring, behind the scenes insights on how I'm approaching life and business, and speak with brilliant expert guests. Search The Lorraine Murphy Show wherever you get your podcasts. A new episode drops every Friday. Subscribe to make sure you always catch the freshest episodes. Let's dive in to this week's show. Hello. In a strange way, I can't believe I'm already recording my highs and lows episodes for the year. This year has felt like 7 years in one. It feels like so much has happened this year. And at the same time, I'm like, sorry, what? It's December. I'm recording these already. What's going on? So if you are a relatively new listener, each year at the end of the year, I sit down and record my business highs and lows, and I record my personal highs and lows. And it's actually something I really look forward to doing every year. It's very cathartic for me and for you. I hope that in sharing what went really well for me over the year and what didn't go so well over the year, you will glean some nuggets. And if you had similar challenges to me, then, you know, we're in it together, sister. There's some solidarity in there and some reassurance that, okay, it wasn't just me that had this challenge this year. And yeah, if there's things that I have experienced that have gone really, really well, well, hopefully it'll be some inspo for you to potentially, yeah, explore a space like that yourself as well. So in today's episode, I'm going to be sharing with you my business highs and lows. And oh my gosh, I learned so much this year. So I think if you have your own business or are planning one, I think there's going to be a lot of nuggets in this for you. And my intent with these episodes is always to be as transparent as I could possibly feel comfortable doing, because yeah, I just believe in passing back the lessons and the insights that I have had. Now, before I do dive into my business highs and lows, just a couple of reminders about what is coming up and what's happening right now in my business. So first of all, I have made all of my goal setting templates available in one snappy little playbook. So that is packed with all of my templates that you can get right now. And if you did buy my playbook last year, I've added some extra templates in this time around. So it might be worth considering getting this one, because there are some upgraded templates in there. And also, I have created an audio mentoring pack. So it just means that you can set your goals and you're set up to get them with me. But then you've got me in your ears through a number of different audio mentoring programs. So there's a how to get motivated mentoring program. There is a how to tackle imposter syndrome audio mentoring program. There is pep talks, and there is visualizations as well. So just really, really nice complement to the playbook. And I've made that audio pack complimentary. So it's a special bonus as part of buying the goal setting and goal getting playbook. So the playbook itself is $29, and the audio mentoring pack I said is like $29, but you can't even buy that audio mentoring pack. So it's kind of money can't buy. So that is available right now. I'll pop the link in the show notes so you can grab your playbook and, as I said, the bonus audio mentoring pack as well. And in February, I am hosting my Bold Brilliance 2-day strategy retreat. So this one is for you if you have your own business or if you are planning your own business. I am so excited for this, and the response has just been incredible to it. There's a lot of excitement, a lot of tickets already booked, which is super exciting. So that's happening on the 13th and the 14th of February. And as I said, it's a 2-day non-residential retreat. So for 2 full days, we are going to be working on your business and in doing so on you as well. So I've got so many cool sessions coming as part of that. So I'll be taking you through the business model that I have leaned on in order to create not just more money in my life, but also more space and more energy for me personally as the business owner. I've also got some of my seven-figure mentees coming in, so they'll be sharing in a cool panel. I cannot wait to have them all at the top of the room together. It's going to be so fun. They'll be sharing their insights, you know, what did it take for them to scale their business to the point that they are at now, all the lessons that they have had, they will be very, very generously passing back. We're also going to have clinical hypnotherapist Rachel Crether, who, if you've listened to the show for a while, you know I'm a big, big fan of her work and have experienced the magic of her work many times myself. She will be taking us through a guided visualization exercise to help you meet your future self. And that's going to be the jumping off point for the whole retreat. And there's going to be lots of get shit done time. There's going to be Q&A with me. There's going to be hot seat mentoring. It's going to be super cool. I could probably have planned a 5-day event like this, but I had to make do with two. So really, really excited. And thank you to all of you who have already booked. Super, super excited to see you on the day. There are two ticket levels. There is a standard ticket price, so you get the full retreat of the 2 days. And if you go VIP, you also get to come along to a VIP dinner with me and some special guests. And also there is some follow-up one-on-one time with me as part of the VIP package as well. So really, really excited for that. Again, I'll pop the links in the show notes for both the playbook and also the Bold Brilliant Strategy Retreat as well. All right. I always wonder which part I'm going to get emotional with as I go through these highs and lows. All right, let's dive in. So I've got, how many highs have I got? I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I've got 10 highs. I've got 5 lows. So, right, let's go. So the biggest high from this year, specifically with, you know, business hat on, was I did prove to myself that my business can be run from literally anywhere. And I'd always said, you know, I love having my business because I know that I could run it from anywhere. But until you test it, you don't really know. And I'm actually really, really proud of myself, past Lorraine, 2022 Lorraine, because I do feel like I set my business up as optimally as I possibly could have to run my business pretty much from the other side of the world for an entire year. Well, 11 months. So we moved to Spain. This year I had in January, I had in Australia because I wanted to do my VIP days with my annual mentees in person. And then from February then we have been in Spain. So I've run everything as I planned from Spain. And it wasn't necessarily easy. We'll get to that soon. But I made it happen. And that feels, I feel really accomplished for that, you know, to be able to prove that for 11 months, I could run my business from anywhere in the world. So I ran it mostly from Spain. I also did some work from Amsterdam, a little bit in Ibiza. Where else did I work from this year? Ireland, Northern Ireland. Yeah, it was pretty cool. So that was, you know, just the little things that just streamlined the business, which I'll talk about in a second. But I was just chatting to my friend Jules. I just spent the weekend with her and her husband and their kids. And I was saying to her, because she's just made the move to Spain, and I was like, get yourself a really good Zoom backdrop. And this is something I did last year for Bold Darling, because I knew I was going to be presenting from all over the place this year. And I got a really beautiful Zoom background designed that is Bold Darling branded. It looks awesome. And just even little things like that, just knowing that no matter where I was showing up from in the world for the Bold Darling group, that it looked consistent for them. So it's all those, you know, the big things that you need to figure out and all the little things that you need to figure out, like a Zoom backdrop. So big, big high this year was proving to myself that the business can be run from anywhere. We will jump immediately to a low. On that same point, it doesn't mean that it was easy to run the business from anywhere. So my work hours this year were very, very different to how I would normally work and choose to work back, you know, living in Australia. So right now, in terms of my revenue streams, well, I've got some one-on-one mentoring, and I've also got my Bold Darling Mastermind, which I'll talk about a bit more in a few minutes, which is essentially like my monthly membership for female entrepreneurs. So they're my two core revenue streams. That's kind of the bread and butter of my business. And when I was kind of planning out, okay, Lorraine, if you move to Spain, what is this going to look like? And on paper, my ops manager, Sam, she's so incredible, created this huge Google sheet that had the time zone. So essentially there was 4 different time zones. When Australia was in daylight savings, but Spain wasn't yet. And then when Australia was in standard time, but Spain wasn't yet. So there's essentially 4 different time zones that we needed to work through. So Sam put together this beast of a spreadsheet so she could tell. And then she aligned it then with my mentees and where they were in Australia and around the world. So on paper, Lorraine 2022 said, cool, Lorraine, you will have to start work at 4 a.m. a few mornings a week in winter time in Spain winter. But that's okay because you can just go back to bed. You know, you'll finish work at 7 or 8. You can go back to bed, have a couple of hours of sleep, do your miracle morning, some of my meditation, yoga, the things I love to do every morning. And then for the afternoon, then you can just work on your own proactive things, because the morning would be FaceTime with mentees and Bull Darling and podcast interviews and so on. And then the afternoon is for your time, and then pick the kids up and yay, all's great. The reality of that was actually very, very different, because what I have learned is that when I start work early in the morning, it's impossible for me to reverse out of that mode, because when I'm on, like I am on, like I bring all my energy, I'm there, mind, body, soul, I am there. And I really realized that when I'm in that zone, like so that on zone, I cannot then go, okay, cool, just down tools. Let's do your miracle morning. Let's light some incense. I really have found that impossible to do. And the same with sleep. It sounds simple saying, okay, finish work at 7, go to sleep for an hour, you know, an hour or two, and then get up and, you know, get moving. But the reality then is the kids are getting up at 7. I want to see them. And there's still, you know, work to get done. Like my work isn't just my one-on-one mentoring. There's the behind the scenes of the business that needs to be managed as well. So the reality of those work hours was very, very different. And also the impact on family life, because Wade and I were working when our children are at home, whereas, you know, in Australia, we drop them to school and then we start work. So Lexi actually said to me a couple of months ago, she said, Mama, I feel like you're always working since we lived in Spain. And we talked about it a bit, and I realized, like, of course, because she wakes up in the morning and I'm downstairs in my office on a mentoring session or a podcast interview. Whereas what she's used to, as I said, in Australia is, we're up, maybe I go to the gym, but I come back, I have breakfast with them, and then myself or Wade or a nanny takes them to school. So she sees me in the morning, so she's not seeing me in the mornings, and that's, she feels like I'm always working because our kids don't normally see us working. And it sounds so simple in, you know, hindsight. Of course, that makes sense. So the work hours have been really, really challenging. Summer was okay. So I start work at 2 p.m. Sydney time. So summer, that meant that I was starting work at 6 a.m., which meant I could get up at 5, do my miracle morning on the rooftop, and then come down and start work at 6 in my office. But in winter, that 2 p.m. is 4 a.m. So that was really challenging. More so, I would say, last winter, because at that point, the Bull Darling model that I was running still had 3 live sessions a month. So it meant that 3 Thursdays in a row, I was getting up at 3:20 in the morning, you know, full makeup, hair, red lipstick, the backlight on at the desk, and on 4 a.m. And so I changed the model in September for Bull Darling for a couple of different reasons, which I'll talk about soon. And that has made a huge difference this winter, because now mostly I start at 5 a.m. Sometimes I start at 6. And then it's just one Thursday a month that I need to start at 4 a.m. to do that live tutorial with the Bull Darling group. I will say, though, this has been, I didn't expect this, that I actually am very high functioning at 4 a.m. I was worried, would I still be sleepy? And I don't know if it's a muscle thing or I just kick in, you know, once the Zoom is on, that's it, I'm on. But I've actually functioned really, really well, which is good, given that that's the product that I'm offering to people. So yeah, the big low was the work hours. And I'll talk more in my personal episode about sleep and health and so on. And another high, so I'll jump back over to the other column in my notes. A huge, huge high this year was my Magnificence program. So last year, for the first time, I offered annual mentoring. And I went to, it was actually Lucy, who's been a longtime mentee of mine. And I think we'd done like, I don't know, 6 back-to-back blocks of either masterminds or power quota mentoring or whatever it was. And I went to her at the end of 2021 and said, hey, like, if I offered you a 12-month mentoring, would you like that? And she was like, yes, that would be great. And then I offered it to a few more mentees. So I had 6 annual mentees last year, and they worked with me on a one-on-one basis. And that was great. And then this year, I was actually working with a mentor last year, and she said, you know, Lorraine, with that top tier program, like, really lux it up, like really make a huge fuss of these women, make them feel so cared for and loved, and, you know, bring that lux element to it. So I really took her input on board. And this year, if I was just to love on these women in a massive way, what would that look like? So I created the Magnificence program. So it was all one-on-one, and we had a full day VIP day in January together. Then I took them for a champagne and dinner. And then they stayed at a beautiful 5-star hotel, and we got them a really, really nice room at the hotel. So, and then we had, then over the year, it's a blend of like 1-hour mentoring sessions and then 2-hour extended mentoring sessions every few months. And then mid-year, then we called it an Elevate sequester, which is where, again, we checked them into a beautiful hotel. They've got a care package waiting on the bed when they arrive from me, remembering now that I'm not in Australia at this point. And then they log on to Zoom. We have a three-hour Zoom session in their afternoon. And then they have the whole evening then to order room service and just integrate and process and just love on themselves for the night, have breakfast the next morning, and they check out and off they go. So that was the Magnificence program this year, and I loved it. I had 10 women come in on that level with me this year, and just that ongoing, you know, that it just gets better every single month because you're working so closely together. They granted me access to their inner worlds in such a beautiful way, and the results that they have gotten have been incredible. 4 of them hit the $1 million mark this year in revenue, which was so exciting. I was so thrilled for them. And they've just grown so much, you know, from the little things like managing their, not little, but I guess the less obvious things like managing their energy better, and right through to, as I said, securing some incredible wins in terms of new hires, revenue growth, new revenue streams, and just really elevating themselves this year, you know, not fucking around with, excuse my language. Okay, we're not even going to say excuse my language because chances are there'll be more swearing in this episode. So not messing around with small fry clients, like really working with those clients that are really going to get their business to the next level. So really, really, really exciting to be part of that with them this year. And it was just the first outing. And there's no logo for Magnificence Program. There's no link in the show notes. Like you get the tap on the shoulder for the Magnificence Program if you're in my world, which I really, really love. I think it really adds to the cachet of it. And yeah, I've loved working with every single one of those 10 women this year. It's been incredible. And I've really dialed that up for next year. So I think the missed opportunity with my Magnificence program this year has been that everyone was, all 10 women were in their silos. So I worked with them one-on-one, and I would kind of reference that, oh, I've got another Magnificence program mentee who's having a similar challenge and this is what we're doing. But they never actually got to connect and meet each other. So next year, given that I'm going to be back in Australia next year, I've created it. So we've still got the one-on-one pillar as such, but then there's a whole second pillar overlaid with that, which is group connection. So next year there's a Magnificence program only retreat. So it's just for those ladies. It'll be really, really intimate and really special. And we've also got 2 group experiences. So one end of financial year and one at the end of the year as well. So the idea is to enable them to be in rooms with women who are at the same level as them in business. And that's, you know, that's not easy to do. When you get to a certain level in business, it can be really, really lonely. And if you don't have business besties, like I'm so incredibly fortunate to have, it's a really, really lonely world. And I think what the risk of that is we can start to play small because we don't have people who are pace setting with us. And as Jill Stanton, who was one of our brilliant Bull Darling experts this year, said, you know, you need to be around women who match your future. And I really feel like that's what the Magnificence program women are going to experience next year. So yeah, I've got some very excited women coming to Magnificence program next year, which is awesome. And I cannot wait to spend time with them. And there's things I can do now that I couldn't do this year being in Spain, where, for example, that Elevate sequester, we're turning that into a half day VIP day. So I'll actually go and be in a room with them for the afternoon and then they go and do the hotel. So adding in a lot more FaceTime next year, which I'm really excited for. And the other thing, actually, just a small tweak, but the group are really, really excited for it, is this year we did, on the one-hour calls, we did phone calls, and next time we're going to do Zoom. And it's really lovely. Whenever we got on Zoom every few months this year, they're like, oh, I get to see you today. I'm so excited. And it was so lovely to see them as well. So yeah, some really nice upgrades to Magnificence program next year. And I'm really, really excited for that. Okay. The next high of this year was Bull Darling. So Bull Darling is, oh my God, it's almost 2. It's going to be 2 in 1st of April next year, which is just nuts. And this year has gone really well in Bull Darling. So if you're not familiar with, as I said, it's my membership for female entrepreneurs. So each month we get together and we have a monthly theme. So for example, the month that we're in right now, as I'm recording this, it's December. And our theme this month is mindset. Last month was scaling. The month before that, God, I'm trying to remember. You're testing me. Energy management, I think, was the month before. So we've got almost like an annual curriculum. And then each month we focus on that particular theme. So I share a pre-recorded masterclass with the group on that particular theme. And then we have our expert workshop, which is where we get an expert to come in and speak to that topic as well. And I think that's been such a huge high of Bull Darling this year, has been the caliber of speakers we've had this year. Every single person I have ever asked to come do a session with Bill Darling has said yes. And the speakers we've had this year have just been incredible. So we've had Jack Delosa come in. He spoke about scaling or strategy. Actually, Jack was strategy. We had, as I said, Jill Stanton from Millionaire Girls Club come and speak about scaling. We had Tracy Harris from Mums with Hustle spoke about energy management. We've just had the most incredible speakers come in this year, and there's even more to come next year. So that's been really, really exciting and just incredibly gratifying to be able to, I guess, open up my little black book to the Bold Darling members and to have time with these incredible speakers. The group has been awesome, and it was actually really, really special because when I hosted my Bali retreat, obviously that is coming as a huge high very, very soon in this episode. When I hosted Bali, we had 5, I think, Bold Darling members came to Bali. And just to see them in person and just how connected they felt, even though a lot of them had only met online, some of them had done like meetups during their time in Bold Darling. But yeah, that was really, really special. So the group has been absolutely incredible this year. And it feels like, I guess from a back end perspective, it feels like it's humming along. So for example, we send, if we're going to be at the live tutorial on a Thursday, we send out a reminder email on the Tuesday. So what I was doing until, Jesus, probably like into the second quarter of this year, was I would just write the emails. Okay, it's Monday, I need to write the email tomorrow for Bold Darling. And I've really systemized it from my end, which has just meant it's a lot easier for the team to run Bold Darling around me. So what I do now is on the last week of the month, I sit down, I plan out my masterclass. The themes are already set for like 3 to 6 months in advance. So I know that, for example, in January, our theme is going to be goal setting and habits. So I will sit down and I will plan out my masterclass. I will write all the emails for the group for the month ahead. And obviously then I will go in like with specific sessions, go in and add some specific reference to that session. But 90% of the emails are written for the month ahead. I also brief our speaker, and it just means that everything is just loaded up and the team can really run with it from there. The other thing I actually did, which is another high on Bold Darling this year, is I hired Laura, who is our Bold Darling concierge. So she is a dedicated resource to just look after the Bold Darling members, which feels really good. And she's doing an incredible job. Oh God, I feel like there's so many highs within Bold Darling. But another high actually within Bold Darling was changing the model. So in September, I decided to change the model. We took away one live session, which was, we used to have a progress and celebration session at the end of every month. So I removed that. And I also switched the expert workshop to being a pre-record session rather than a live session. And there was a few different reasons for that. One was obviously just time difference in Spain. I was actually very anxious going into winter again. So I just felt like I need to change the model because I'm worried about the health impacts of being up that early so many mornings a month. And the other thing was as well, it enabled me to reduce the investment, which meant that when I launched the program, when I opened doors again in September, we had a really, really good launch because I think it brought the, particularly, God, given the year that many families and businesses have had in Australia this year, it made Bold Darling had been on quite a few people's vision boards for quite a while. And that was the tipping point that they said, okay, cool, I can invest at this level. This feels really, really good. And then the other upside as well to changing the model in that way was that I was able to approach speakers who aren't necessarily in Australia. So for example, we had a speaker from the UK, we had a speaker who's living in Thailand, and that just made a big difference as well. So I think changing the model was another big high for Bold Darling this year. Another huge high was my Bali retreat. So I wasn't actually intending to host a retreat this year. I thought that would be kind of next year, the year after, I would get back into the retreats game again. So just in case you're not aware, in 2020, I hosted a retreat in Bali in 2018, which went incredibly well. And then in 2020, I had planned to host another one in May, and obvs, we all know what happened there. So I was actually quite nervous to even think about doing retreats over 2021, 2022. And then this year I figured, oh, we're moving to Spain. It won't be this year. But then I realized that, well, first of all, my community really needed it. I was having more and more conversations with burnt out, exhausted women. I would get asked so many times, are you thinking about doing any more retreats this year? And I figured, okay, well, let's just make it happen. So I announced it in April, I think. And it was like an instant hit, like instantly. I think Kyla booked, I think, within half an hour of the first email. Oh, no, I sent it to her in advance because she was an annual mentee. So yeah, Bali sold out, which was so exciting. It actually more than sold out. I had one guest book as a day girl. And yeah, if you've seen my Insta highlights, like there's a retreats highlights on my Insta profile at Lorraine Murphy Mentor. It was just incredible. And I've just recorded, you will see them on my playlist on the show, a mini series of 3 episodes about my Bali retreat. And yeah, it was just next level just to be in that space with that kind of woman for 6 days. I had the brilliant Clara Bead come and support from a spiritual guide perspective, but also as space holder for me and also for the group. And she was just incredible. And I think also it was just extra sweet this year after having so little in-person time to then get a whole 6 days. I was just walking on air for that whole week. It was so high vibe. And to see the transformation that those women experienced and the messages I'm still getting from women telling me, like, this hasn't gone away. Like, I thought I would be on my Bali buzz for a week or two afterwards, but I'm still feeling like this. And it's been 6 weeks now since we got back. So that was a huge, huge high. Absolutely loved it. And another high is, so you may have, if you followed some of the strategy that I share, or I guess the more business theory that I share, I talk a lot about the importance of having an ascension model in your business. So if I was to kind of mentally sketch it out for you, if you visualize a pyramid, so the fattest part of the pyramid is on the bottom, and then you've got that bottom layer is like your free of charge offers, whatever people come in free of charge with. So for me, for example, in my business, it's this podcast, it's my Instagram, it's my emails, and it's also if I host like free webinars or workshops, that kind of thing. That's all my free of charge. And then you move up a tier, which is when the investment goes up for the person who's investing. So for me, that next level up is a book, one of my books, which is about $30, $35. And then people move up and up and up and they go get to that peak in your business. So I've been working on this ascension model for 4 years, I'd say, gradually just trying to organize my business in a way that ascension model works. And to give you some context, at one point in this business, I had 17 revenue streams. And I think I had 3 different pyramids for like the different ideal customers I have. It was a fecking mess. So I've been very intentional about this ascension model for the last 4 years, and I could feel it starting to work last year. And this year I'm like, oh my God, it's working. It's actually working, because I've decided who my ideal customer is. It's a female entrepreneur who's looking to either start or scale her business. And I've just got so many examples this year of people moving up through the pyramid. So, you know, someone comes in because they start following me on Instagram and their friends tells me about them. They invest in my book and they might come along to a couple of like ad hoc events that I do. Then when I'm opening doors for Bold Darling, they come into Bold Darling. They love Bold Darling. Then they decide to come on the Bali retreat, for example. And then they get to the point then in their business where, and this is the next evolution that I've just created for Bold Darling, where I've created Bold Darling VIP, which is where people get a blend of VIP only group mentoring, and they get 6 hours of one-on-one with me over the year. So they get like a three-hour strategy session, and then we do 3 one-hour mentoring sessions. So it's essentially they get a quarterly touch point with me, because that's my next level now. Because what I realized in my business towards the end of this year was that the gap is widening. There's a very, very wide gap now between coming on a retreat with me, for example, or doing Power Quarter Mentoring with me, which is my 3-month one-on-one package. There's a big gap now between that level and Magnificence Program, like tens of thousands of dollars in terms of a gap. So what I wanted to create for next year is something that bridges that gap, so that someone can do a more light on year of one-on-one with me, have more time with me. And then I'm focusing and they're focusing on getting themselves to the level where their Magnificence Program for 2025. So that's what I mean by the ascension model. It's working now, which is so exciting, because it's so much easier of a business to run. And I'll talk more about ease shortly in this episode as well. But just feeling that ascension model working. And just this morning, I sat down to start work. It's Monday as I'm recording this. And I saw that someone has booked in, someone I've got in mind for annual mentoring, like a Magnificence Program at some point. She's booked in for my 2-day event in February. And then another mentee has booked in for Bali next year. So it's just working. It's so exciting. And I think I really, really appreciate it. It's like, you know, when your electricity goes and you realize how much you actually need electricity, like, you know, the difference. I feel like I know how stressful the business felt to run when I had so many different offers and so many different people and trying to keep everyone happy and always kind of scratching about for, okay, what's that next big thing that's going to bring in that revenue that I need, you know, that I need to have in the business. And it just feels completely different now. Like, it almost feels like the business is, And I don't want this to sound, oh, this is interesting, that's my own limiting belief, isn't it, that I'm sounding lazy. But it's almost like the car is driving and I've got it on, you know, auto mode, whatever you call it. Wade knows how to use it. I can never figure out how to use it. I'm too afraid. You're driving on the highway and you just want to set the speed at like 90 kilometers per hour. It's a coaster. Cruise control. It's like the business now feels like it's on cruise control. And there's still so much I need to do and improve and work on, and more of that is coming up shortly when I talk to you about a couple of my lows this year. But it feels like the business is on cruise control now, and it feels so free. As I said, because I know what the opposite feels like when you're, yeah, driving in, you know, at high speed, trying to navigate and zip around obstacles. And yeah, it's not that anymore. There's a level of, there's a solidness to it. There's a groundedness to it. And there is, as much as anyone can have, there is a level of predictability in the business now, which I don't feel like I've ever had. And that feels so good. So good. Okay, I'm going to flip over to a low. And then before I go back to a high and then more lows. So a low this year was my branding. So I've got an incredible graphic designer called Stacey. So anything you see, that anything like my Bali branding or my Bold Brilliance branding, is Stacey. And she does the most incredible job. She's just had a tough job this year because I haven't done any new headshots. So normally I would do 2 or 3, if not even 4 photo shoots a year with my brilliant photographer, Greg. And this year, kind of the first half of the year was just like, okay, I'll just settle in. I've still got my shots. They're fine. Like everything I have, got some, like I've got incredible shots with Greg. That's fine. And then I cut my hair due to, actually, I should have put that as my personal lows. I need to add that to the list, my hair. And I had to cut my hair because I had an absolute hairdressing car crash and basically had to lop half of my hair off. So then, of course, straight away, my images look really dated because my hair is really long in all of my nice branded shots. I did a photo shoot here in Spain and I just didn't like the images. Like, I just didn't. I think there's so much to be said for the energy, like the vibe of your photographer and the vibe that they help you feel. And the guy I worked with, he was lovely and we had a nice day together, but it wasn't that sparkle energy that I feel myself and Greg have when we shoot together. And so, yeah, per Stacey, I just keep briefing her to create branding for things. And she's like, Lorraine, I really need some new shots. I really need some new shots. So in January, I am doing a shoot in January. It's all booked in. It's happening. So, yeah, I feel like that was a low this year. I feel like, you know, maybe this is the kind of thing that you as the business owner are the only person that actually notices or slash cares. But I feel like my branding, yeah, I need a very big injection of new images. Like normally I do like a 3-hour shoot with Greg and I want to do like a full day in January. So yeah, that was a low this year. I like to have that kind of fresh energy coming through. So I'm really, really excited for some fresh shots next year. And jumping over to a high, where am I going next? It's actually another low. So in my business, I've got Power Quarter Mentoring, which is a 3-month block of one-on-one mentoring with me. And that was really low this year in terms of normally I would work with probably 10 people on a Power Quarter Mentoring basis. And this year, I think it was five, maybe six. I should have actually checked that before I started recording. But it was significantly lower than normal. And, you know, revenue-wise, that was okay because Magnificence program was so solid this year. But it's just interesting to see how, you know, you've got some things that go super well for 3 years in a row. And then all of a sudden, years like this year, there just wasn't the appetite for that this year. And interestingly, I had feedback from someone who's looking at joining Bold Darling VIP. She said, I've wanted to work with you one-on-one for years. She said, I love Bold Darling. I'd love that one-on-one element with you. But she said, when I look at Power Quarter Mentoring, it just feels like it's too intense. Like 3 months fortnightly, it just feels too much for me. And she said, like, even when I go and watch one of your workshops in Bold Darling, like I go back and look at it, watch it again 4 or 5 months later, and I get a whole new level of insight from that masterclass. Kind of like, you know, when you watch a Disney movie and you forget that things happened, and you go, every time you watch it, it goes another layer. So I love that she said that. But I thought that was interesting feedback because the appetite for Bold Darling VIP has been really high. So it was a low in terms of it was lower revenue. Thankfully, it didn't change my world business-wise this year. And I think that's the other element as well. You know, while I say my ascension model is working really well, I've also got that triangulation model working really well now, which feels really good. So if you think about a stool, I use this analogy. If you're a one-on-one mentee of mine, you're probably like, oh my God, here she goes with the stool again. So if you think about a stool needs 3 legs to stand. So I really do believe it's the same with the business. And I've believed this since my first business, the Remarkables Group. So with my business, I've got 3 core revenue streams. So I've got my annual mentoring, so Magnificence program, I've got Bold Darling, I've got Power Quarter Mentoring. So it just means that if one of those drops, like I experienced this year at Power Quota Mentoring, it's okay because the other two are, you know, they're still there. And that really helps me in terms of peace of mind and also just strategically to constantly be focusing on, okay, what are those three things? And then if you think about it, then my Power Quota Mentoring was a lot lower than expected this year, which means, okay, well, maybe that's not the right leg anymore. Like maybe there's another leg that needs to be subbed in. So if I think about my year next year, my legs are very much Bold Darling, Magnificence Program, and Retreats. They're my three legs next year. Power Quota Mentoring is still there. That's fine. But it's not going to be one of those core three legs anymore. So over to a high, a huge high this year was Sam, my operations manager, just generally. She joined me in August last year and we have just got the most beautiful working dynamic. She's just this incredible blend of absolute operator, like so on the detail, you know, ops wise, she's just excellent. But then she's got this whole other side of her, which is super woo-woo and you know, all about the energy. And she's just a really, really good match for me because I feel like I've got those two different sides as well. And I've just felt like she has had my back massively. Running my business from Spain would have been a completely, completely different situation if she wasn't in my business. Just to know that there's someone there in, you know, daytime Australia that if anything happens while I'm asleep, that she's got it. It's given me so much peace. And she's just been an incredible, yeah, physical in terms of, you know, business support, but also just emotional support as well. So I feel like our dynamic has really grown. And it's just, it still blows my mind that we've never met each other. So she's actually coming to Bali in May. That was one of my insights from the biggest really thing to, that I could do better next year was to have someone on the ground looking after the healer's got his everything he needs, that the chef, the cook team have what they need, that the villa manager, you know, everything is managed because I just honestly want to sit by the pool and drink cocktails with the group. That's where I want to be next year. So Sam's coming in May. So I'm hoping we'll get to meet before then. I really want to have like a team strategy day early next year. But yeah, worst case, I will see her in Bali in May, which will be incredible. So Sam has been incredible. And then Laura has come in, as I said, from Bold Darling Concierge in that role. And then I've got my, you know, my absolute diehards like Zoe, who manages all of my website, Kajabi stuff, Stacey, my graphic designer. She's been incredible. And I've actually done a couple of upgrades this year on the business. So we had a accounting bookkeeping firm in the business for a couple of years. And I went to them because they were profit first specialists. And it was pretty average, to be honest. I mean, I don't feel like I really vibed with the bookkeeper. I had a monthly meeting with her every month, which I didn't especially look forward to. And I don't think, and you know, there's probably a million different factors. Like I took ages to get back to run things and it just didn't feel like it was great. There were a couple of really big missed balls earlier on this year, which was my like, okay, we need to sort this. But it actually took quite a while to find the right person. I probably spoke to about six or seven different bookkeepers, accountants. And finally had a conversation with Magdalena, who came really highly recommended from someone I very, very much trust. And as soon as she got on Zoom, I was like, okay, yeah, you're it. I had a similar feeling with her as I did when Sam got on Zoom for our first interview together. So Magdalena has been managing the bookkeeping for the last 4 months in the business, but has also been whipping everything into shape in the back end. You know, she's really reducing the potential for human error in the back end of the business now. And I feel like she is one of the contributing factors that I feel like I can scale the business from here because I know that she's got that back end sewn up and I haven't felt like that on the finance front up until now. So that's been a huge upgrade. I'm paying a lot more for that, but the peace of mind that it's giving and the sense that, okay, there's someone who is invested in improving the business with me rather than they're just here to tick through their jobs every month and move on. That feels really, really good. And the other thing that I've very recently done, so as of like this week, this is kicking in, So rather than offshoring, I'm onshoring our VA support. And this has been something, actually, I'll just flick over to a low because this is, I would say probably the biggest low. It's the biggest low. Other than the work hours, this is the biggest low. So we have had a number of different VAs through the business. So we had someone in the business for just over a year who, the only way I can describe it is she just went off the boil. She was through an agency, just went off the boil. Was great initially, went off the boil, and we just couldn't seem to get her back to being on the boil. The agency said that they would replace her, and in the meantime, then we had someone else from the agency managing things, which was just not good. And at that point, I said, okay, I just want to hire someone direct. So, you know, let's not deal with agencies. Let's just get someone direct. And I actually went on Upwork, and myself and Sam between us found someone who was great. We hired her through Upwork as a month trial just to see how she went. And she was incredible, like so good. Sam was just saying to me, this just feels so good to actually have the support and to know that things are being done. It's just incredible. So that was all going really, really well. And again, just went off the boil. That's the only way I can describe it. And it's been so stressful for the last, I would say, 6 weeks. It's got progressively worse as we've been trying to figure out, okay, what do we do about this? How do we sort this? And so we have found someone in Australia. We actually got down to two incredible candidates in Australia, obviously paying a lot more. However, I feel really excited. It feels an upgrade in the way that the bookkeeper upgrade was. And this is probably the point that I could get emotional in this episode. It's just so fucking frustrating and heart-wrenching when I and the team are so on top of things like batching podcast episodes and batching my Monday Mentor email and saying, okay, let's try new webinar software. And you're let down with the tech because someone else isn't doing their job properly. It is so frustrating. And things like, you know, links not being right in an email, the email being sent at the wrong time. Just, yeah. I think I'm probably a bit too raw to be talking about this particular one right now as part of this episode, but it's been a huge frustration. And the problem then as well is that when you've got that kind of, you know, not effective support in your business, what happens then is the more, like the Laura's and the Sam's and my team have to work doubly hard to try and, you know, get things done, reminding someone to do something, checking things, double checking, triple checking, you know, including me, that it's just such a, you think that this is cost effective because you're paying this person overseas X amount an hour, but it is such a, feck, I can't remember the word, but it's so not the case because your people that you are paying a lot of money an hour are having to spend hours chasing this person. Like, it is just such a, God, this drives me crazy. I can't think of, you're probably screaming it down the down the headphones at me right now. So yeah, that feels really good. The person we have hired is incredible. And I'm really, really excited going into next year, knowing that she is going to actually have things under control. And I feel like I will have the team around me with this team, that this last person in place, that I don't have to look backwards. Like, I can just blast ahead, do what I need to do next year, and just know that the team is going to have everything gripped up behind me. That feels really, really good. So, and another low, it's related to team as well. I don't feel like I've invested enough in my team this year. Laura, for example, came in September. No, October, Laura came in. She's been in the business for 2 months and I've had hardly any time with her. And I know Sam and her speak every week. And of course, that Sam's role is to be the ops manager and manage that relationship. But I really want to next year to feel like I'm building a really consolidated team. I think for the first 5.5 years of this business, it's felt more like I've got people, like my right-hand woman has always felt like, okay, cool, we're very close together. But anyone beyond that, it feels like they kind of just, I ask them to come in, do their work, and that's it. Like, there's no broader investment in the culture, the team. And I feel like now with the business scaling, like it's scaling, it's time to do that. And I'm really excited to do that. And I think I probably would have done more of that this year, but my FaceTime hours are so limited being in Spain. Like, it's limited to really 3-4 hours per morning. So I feel like, yeah, there's a lot more bandwidth to invest in the team next year. And something I really want to do is to have a team retreat. So I used to do this in my first business. So I'd really love to create it, even if it's a 1-day event next year as a starting point, where we get together and actually really connect as a team. Yeah, I'm excited to do that. I think, I don't know, is it a level of the kids being so young? But I just felt like I just didn't have the bandwidth to invest in a team until this point. And now I feel like, okay, it's coming back. Like, I want to do that again. And I'm excited to do that. So yeah, that is a low, not having invested as much as I would like to have in the team this year. Actually, sorry, the other thing I should have said, another high relating to team, was coaching. So I invested in a coach. I started working with them in September. And so, yeah, Jesus, we're almost halfway through. We're just halfway through now. And that has been incredible. Like, just to have, I do so much coaching for other people. To be on the other side of the conversation has been really, really incredible. And to have my own patterns held up to me and the realizations that I've had as part of that has been such a gift. I'm so, so thrilled and so happy with that. And, you know, when coaching is done well, the coach should feel like an extension of your team. Like, just like your partner, if you have one, is, or your ops manager or your VA. So it really does feel like I'm going into next year with the dream team. Like, it really, even energetically, I can just feel like there's a solidness around me, if that makes sense, going into next year, knowing that these people are in my team. So the next low, where am I going? All right. Another big high this year was cash management. So you may have heard me talk about Profit First, which I have been running now for almost 2 years in my business and love it. However, I knew this year going into Magnificence program, for example, there were going to be a lot of production expenses. So for example, you know, putting everyone up in 5-star luxury hotels twice a year, like all of that adds up quite quickly. So something I did, which I was really, really proud of myself, because my tendency can be with time and money, is to assume that Lorraine in 6 months is going to have plenty of both and make decisions today as a result of that. So what I could have done in the past, if I knew there was production expenses coming up mid-year, was to say, okay, it's fine, like I'll figure that out when the time comes, there'll be money, like I'll manifest the money or whatever. And I really just wanted to have a lot of certainty this year, particularly with the move to Spain. So I kept running with Profit First, as I have been doing for a couple of years. But the other thing I did was one of my Magnificence program mentees this year paid up front. So pretty much the minute she paid, I put that money into a separate bank account, and that became the production expenses bank account for Magnificence program every month. So it meant that when Sam needed to book a hotel room or send a care package to someone, send a welcome gift, whatever it might be, when the money came off the credit card, I would reimburse the credit card from that production account. So that was so good. And the other element actually that I didn't touch on with Magnificence program is there's a pretty chunky donation to Share the Dignity, which is my favorite charity, every year as well. So for example, yeah, the charity donations would get reimbursed from that production account. And same with Bali. So every Bali booking that came through and the money came through from Stripe, it got put into the Bali production expenses account. And then when it came time to run Bali, I just cashed out from that account basically, and then picked up whatever was left as profit in the business. So that was really good. Such a small thing, but just looking after future Lorraine in that sense was amazing. And again, at this point in time, I've got Magnificence program people, there's a couple, I think there's two paying up front this year. Yes, two, potentially three. So again, all that money goes into the production account and I cash out from there. So that has been really good just to create that stability and that structure around the cash management with those big production elements as well, has been great. Now, the other thing that was a huge high, and this is my last high, I think, yes, is, and I think it was interesting, I was chatting to Jules, my bestie, over the weekend. She's also in business. And she said, you know, because I was saying, you know, I feel like we wanted to do 18 months in Spain, we'll have done just under a year when we go back to Australia. And I was saying to you, know, I feel, I don't know, like, should we have stuck it out until mid next year, you know, the sleep and all the things. And she was saying, you know, Lorraine, I think this has been so good for your business being in Spain, because it really forced you to get very, very streamlined and to set your business up very intentionally in a way that would support you and your lifestyle and, you know, the choices that you're making with your family this year. And I've been thinking on it since she said that yesterday. And I was like, that is so true, because what I realized is that there has been little to no bright, shiny thing syndrome this year. Like, I'm struggling to think of one thing. I did a couple of online events that weren't like in the plan at the start of the year. But in terms of, you know, chasing after rabbits, you know, little unicorn rabbits, there wasn't any of that this year, which is the first year in this business that I've done that, slash any business actually, because I did it in my first business as well. So I think that's been the huge gift in doing this Spain move, is that I very intentionally set the business up to reduce FaceTime, to be a lot more streamlined. And that's something I'm taking into next year. So I'll talk a little bit about what I'm doing next year, but that was really huge. And, you know, as someone who is very, very susceptible to bright, shiny thing syndrome, just ask Wade, that was a huge achievement for me to actually keep myself that focus this year. And it's definitely something that I want to bring through to next year. And I think as an adjunct to that, another big high this year was just being a lot smarter about the inclusions that I offer within my programs. So for example, last year, when I had my annual mentoring program, what I built in as a bonus was I would go in person or online and run 2 training sessions for the mentees teams. So I did that. So if, you know, you add that, that was at a certain level within that annual mentoring. But, you know, if you add that up, like, that's quite a bit of in-person time in terms of, you know, travel time and preparing a session and having all the handouts and all things, like, it's a lot. Whereas next year for Magnificence program, what I have done is all of the Magnificence mentees, program mentees who come in, they and their teams get access. So we're like building them their own special portal with all my programs in there. So they get Step Into You, they get Remarkably Organized, they get Create Academy. I think we worked out it's like $3,500 worth of value per person, and they get that. So that's huge value for them and huge value for their teams, because you know they've got a team of 10, that's like $30,000 of value. It's awesome. However, it doesn't cost me one single minute. The team will set up those portals. The programs are already recorded. So there's a lot for me this year that I figured out about just working a lot smarter and not flinging in lots of bonuses. And it, you know, obviously, I loved going and meeting my mentees' teams. It was so fun. But I think in terms of if I really want to scale my business and achieve my goal of making more money and working less, I just need to get a lot smarter about how I create bonuses, as an example. So that has been really cool. Revenue has gone up significantly. So I grew revenue by 50% year on year. And I believe, you know, all going to plan, I will do the same again next year, which is so good. And, you know, I left that high until the end because I want you to see all the different decisions that came in to resulting in that result. So in the bright, shiny thing syndrome pretty much reduced down to zero. Being a lot smarter about the bonuses that I offer, being very, very clear on the ascension model so that if I'm focusing on getting new people into my community, that they go on, that their lifetime value of that customer goes gets much higher because I'm just focusing on them, which feels really, really incredible. So yeah, lots of highs. I do feel really proud after this year for, you know, all the reasons I've just shared. And there's definitely areas of improvement, which we are very focused on. And I feel good about that. You know, it sucks when you've got an area that didn't go very well and you just don't know what to do about it. And just even talking this with you today as a part of this episode, every problem that we have, there's a solution in mind. And of course, there'll be more problems next year and we'll have to do the same again. But that feels really, really good that we do have those solutions planned. We're like, we're already actively working on them. In terms of next year, and I've got a pretty good idea of the business next year, but I haven't done my goal setting yet for next year. But my intentions that I will be bringing into my goal setting are to build on the lessons of this year. You know, bright, shiny thing syndrome is a huge one. So I've been very, very strict on myself for what I can do that's new. Because of course, I'm back in Australia next year. So I'm like, I can do this and I can do this and I can do this. And it's like, no, Larry, no. So Magnificence program is locked and loaded for next year. Bold Darling is locked and loaded. Obviously, we've got some innovation in there with Bold Darling VIP being introduced. And Bali, so I'll host two retreats to Bali. There's one happening at the last week of May. There'll be another one later in the year as well. And the only new thing that I'm allowing myself at this point is to create that two-day strategy retreat. So that Bold Brilliance event is new. And just let that sit. I'll host that in February. If that goes well, I might do it another couple of times over the year, potentially in different locations around Australia as well. But that's it. That's the bright, shiny thing for next year. Everything else is improving on what we're already doing. So improving the podcast, improving branding, showing up more on Instagram, making Bold Darling even better, absolutely loving on my Magnificence program mentees, all of that. And as I said, a huge goal intention for next year is to make more money and work less. And I'm really taking my mentees on that journey with me next year as well, because I want the very, very same for them. And again, just working smarter. So rinsing and repeat. So funny. I was working with my coach. I did the Bali retreat in May, which went incredibly well. I already knew I was going to do the May one. And I was like, I want to do one again later on in the year, but I think I should do it in Ubud or, you know, do it somewhere different. And her and I just unpacked it together. Why did I feel like I needed to do it differently? And it was because I didn't feel like it could be that easy to rinse and repeat. And when I say rinse and repeat, it just means that the pre-departure pack is done. We know when the best timing for the pre-departure call is. And we found incredible villas that are just so perfect for my group that the group absolutely loved. The menu was, well, there was a couple of, we did Taco Tuesday at the retreat. Yeah. We stuck with the Indonesian food after that because that's what the chefs did really, really well. So I had this story that, no, I can't host the same retreat again because I need to make it harder for myself to make that kind of money, which is just so ridiculous. And this is why coaching and mentoring is so powerful, because you have a mirror held up to you for all the bullshit things that you do to yourself. So yeah, a lot more. If something works, do it again. Little tweaks, little optimizations, that's it. And yeah, just to basically stop making it hard for myself to make money and having to work harder than I need to work, essentially. So they're my big, I guess, intentions for next year. And they're the guardrails that I will be using to craft my goals for the year next year. So I really hope that you have enjoyed this episode. I feel like that was an emotional journey for me talking you through the year. But I'm really hoping, as I said, that in me sharing this story, that you've got some solidarity if you experience similar challenges or, you know, similar successes. And also that there's some nuggets in there. I feel like these, I often get feedback from listeners on these episodes just saying, oh, that's really interesting you said this because I want to do this. So yeah, I think I really hope that you got some of those nuggets in there. So remember that you can get my goal setting and goal getting playbook and the bonus audio mentoring pack on my website. So that's $29, including the mentoring pack, the audio pack. The link is in the show notes for that. And also my Bold Brilliance events, which is happening on the 13th and the 14th of February. And again, link in the show notes for that one as well. So sending you lots of love. I'm hoping that you get the chance to do some reflection and revisiting on your year as well. And next up in this little mini series is going to be my personal highs and lows. So that's coming up very soon as well. So thank you for joining me this year on the podcast. And I'm excited to create more magic for you next year together. So sending love, and thank you for being part of this with me. I loved having you join me for this week's episode. Please do connect with me on Instagram at Lorraine Murphy Mentor and visit my website lorrainemurphy.com.au for tons of free resources and my reading list of all my favorite books. It would mean the absolute world if you could subscribe and share episodes you love with those that you love. Thank you for listening.